I'm Leanne Tran, psychologist who's worked with families whose kids don't fit the mold for almost 20 years. I've worked with children for decades, but I know parents are the real change makers when it comes to their kids. Having three kids of my own means I know it's not easy. Parent Like a Psychologist is all about simplifying how you support your kids with psychology information filtered through years of experience to take you from overwhelmed to confident. Come on in.
Hi, thanks so much for joining me again on Parent Like a Psychologist. I'm coming to you today after school holidays. I've been away with my family and so enjoyed a bit of a break, which meant really relaxing and unwinding, which was awesome. But then now I'm back at work. It's coming to me a little bit more, I want to say clunkily. I don't know if that's a word, but I find after I have a break, I'm not in that automatic flow of talking how I usually would about these topics, whether it's in a podcast like today or whether it's in person with families. So families are always forgiving in the room with me. If I'm seeing people one-on-one, when I, for example, do things like forget my password or I haven't charged my Remarkable for taking notes or something like that. So bear with me today. But I've been thinking a lot on my break about ADHD, and that's because my course for parents called Supporting Your ADHD Teenager is coming out tomorrow, which is very exciting. And lots of the work has been done, but the break let my brain just be creative and think about it in depth when I was on walks and, or, you know, spending time with my teenager who couldn't find his hat and forgot the sunscreen and all of those kind of executive functioning challenges came through on the holiday. So that's what I'm going to be talking about this episode and the next one and maybe the one after as well. And I thought I might break things down into more detail. So I'm talking today about ADHD in girls and how it might present a little bit differently to boys, relevant for teenagers, but also relevant for younger kids as well. So the things I'll talk about today cross over all age ranges, and it's general kind of information. But in the program Supporting Your ADHD Teenager, we talk specifically about teenagers because aren't they fun? They're different. So I wanted to cover today, I guess, a little bit of information about, I'm not going to cover ADHD in general because I have talked about that before, but I'm going to talk about the things that are the nuance of different presentation in girls so that you can have some guidelines about how to think about it. So I'll start, and I'm going to refer to my notes as well a bit more in this session if you're watching on YouTube. So bear with me. It's my first day back. and what I wanted to go over first was the statistics. That's the bit that's a little bit, hard to remember. And so the rates of ADHD vary, and they vary over time as well. So it really depends on what statistics that you look at. But typically, ADHD has been more commonly diagnosed in boys than in girls. There's growing awareness that a lot of girls might be going undiagnosed, or they may be misdiagnosed due to differences in their presentation. In general, girls tend to display more internalized behaviors. So that might be things like inattention and disorganization, which means difficulty with executive functioning and that kind of thing. And that tends to be overlooked in comparison to boys who might be presenting with more hyperactivity. And if you think about it, in a classroom environment, often the kids who are visible, who stand out in amongst the rest of the class, are the ones who are noticed and parents are made aware of difficulties. That's true not only for ADHD, but also learning difficulties, social difficulties. If kids tend to internalize, and they tend to maybe fly under the radar, whereas kids who externalize, maybe that in the classroom is calling out, it's jostling with peers, causing friction on the carpet and that kind of thing, then they are more visible and tend to get picked up. So if you've got a really quiet girl, it might be something to be wary of and ask the teacher to really try and observe for a week or two. And once they've drawn their attention to it, often they'll pick up things they hadn't noticed before. So let's talk about some of the differences in girls. We know that ADHD tends to cover a range of different areas. But so I'll talk about some of them, but also the additional challenges that might go along with ADHD, like social interactions and learning and that kind of thing. So I've mentioned a bit that girls might go undiagnosed or misdiagnosed because they tend to be internalizers or not be so visible. That's one of the contributing factors to the diagnosis rates, but it's also, I guess, is the first point of difference. So difference one is that boys might tend to be more hyperactive and impulsive, and girls more inattentive and disorganized. So it's that difference in presentation is the first thing. We all know that ADHD can be hyperactive type, or it can be that inattentive type, or a combination of the two. But it's girls that tend to have more that inattentive type. That's the first difference. The second difference, I think, is one that's more related to the diagnosis and the behaviors or symptoms of ADHD, which is executive functioning challenges. And so that's a real core part of ADHD. In boys, those executive functioning challenges might tend to present like impulsivity and hyperactivity, like I've mentioned. It could be things like difficulty with procrastination and time management is another one. And I guess it's how the boys show that is maybe different to how girls show it. So they might show that procrastination or task avoidance in a louder way than girls do. So girls may sit there and doodle rather than boys might be calling out or playing a game or something that gets them noticed. Working memory is another thing that's different as well. So difficulty following multi-step instructions, remembering information, and completing tasks that require, steps to be followed in order. There's also that difficulty with organization as well. And so that might show a little bit more in boys as having a messy space. So their physical space, whether that's homework, their bedroom, their desk at school. I'll go into the difference of girls in a minute, I guess. But sometimes it's also that boys can be, well, all kids, but boys particularly with ADHD might be inconsistent in their performance. So they might be hyper-focused one day and get things done, and the next day that focus isn't there. And they are likely to follow interests or tasks that give that immediate reward as well. And so I guess, if you're going to generalize the sex differences, for boys, it just might be more that difference in play or what they find interesting and rewarding that gets them noticed and picked up more. So I don't know if I'm explaining that well, but I guess what I mean is the differences are there in terms of all kids with ADHD being motivated by rewards and following what's interesting to them. But for boys, perhaps that's more physical behavior. It's moving around. It might be taking risks. It might be pushing boundaries. And so, whereas the girls might be doing other things. One good example is things like craft. Sometimes craft is something that's really interesting for girls, but it's a quiet activity where they're sitting still. And so it's the types of the differences in the types of activities that kids are drawn to that makes it either more or less visible. And so when we're talking about girls with that executive functioning, I guess it will still be impacting their ability to be organized, their ability to manage time, and ability to plan to be able to get things done. So the thing is, it might just manifest a bit differently. And so it might be difficulties, I guess, because look, it's another sex difference assumption or generalization, isn't it, that women and girls tend to have better organization and planning than men. So I guess what you're looking for then is differences in those higher order abilities. So boys might have a lot of difficulty managing their time or completing tasks, but girls may have difficulty with multitasking. Boys might have trouble with getting things done. Girls might be able to get things done, but have trouble with maintaining routines. And so boys might have trouble following instructions, whereas girls might be able to follow instructions, but have difficulty with managing daily responsibilities on their own. So perhaps it's not that our expectations are higher of girls, but maybe what we need to look at is whether they can master the basics, but they're having trouble with those higher order abilities. And, read a little bit more about that if you're unsure about what to expect for your child. There are some good books about ADHD by Russell Barkley that can be pretty easy for parents to understand. And although some of the books tend to be a little bit deficit focused, and so that means focusing more on the problems and challenges rather than presenting things as a, also providing information about strengths. He talks really in depth about executive functioning, so really breaking it down for parents to know and understand what executive functioning is and how those skills, or what skills to expect by age and how to pick up difficulties. But then also talks about what to do to help, as a parent so that things are easier for your child. So I think it's the nuances, maybe, that is what we need to look at for girls in terms of executive functioning. We've also talked about how perhaps it's the behaviors in general present more so in terms of inattention rather than impulsivity and hyperactivity. Disorganization and that difficulty with executive functioning. And to be aware that sometimes when if kids are not able to do tasks or academic activities, but they're avoiding those to do things of more interest to them, that's something that's a sign that potentially a child has ADHD. And so even if it's not a really physically active, hyperactive thing, like they just need to move. Perhaps if they're doing something else, like they prefer to play or do craft, or a big one for school, I guess, is like doodling and drawing and that kind of thing, then perhaps, that's one of the signs as well. It's just not as visible, in the classroom or at home. So, well, I've talked a little bit about parts of the behaviors that contribute to a diagnosis or identification of ADHD. There are some other things that go along with ADHD that are different for girls. And so that's social interactions and also academics. But also I want to talk about the coexistence of other challenges as well. I'll start first with talking about some of the coexistence of other challenges, because that leads into what I was talking about before when I mentioned that girls might get misdiagnosed as well. So girls with ADHD, or kids, I guess, with ADHD are more likely to develop another condition like anxiety or depression, but girls more so because they are also internalizing kind of problems as well. So girls with ADHD are really frequently experience things like anxiety and depression. Once that happens, that can confuse that diagnosis process or identification process as well. So that means kids in the classroom or girls with ADHD maybe develop anxiety, for example, as a secondary thing. So that ADHD was there first. It's really stressful having ADHD, particularly in a classroom. You can't keep up, don't know what's going on, disorganized, and so you develop anxiety. It could be at that point when you're presenting to seek help from a psychologist or a pediatrician that anxiety is the thing that's focused on and the process stops there. Myself, when, you know, for me as a psychologist, I'm always looking deeper to work out, well, why is that anxiety there? And I know the pediatricians I work with do the same, but it's not always easy. So once your child has that challenge, it's almost like peeling off layers at a time. And you, if you feel like the anxiety itself is just kind of coming out of nowhere or really related to that difficulty with being organized and that kind of thing, ask the question of your, provider whether ADHD might be something that's underlying. It's not difficult to do some assessment for ADHD. And so it's really worth looking into if it's something that you're considering. So the other thing too is that it's really important as well to identify whether it's more than just anxiety or depression, because that's going to feed into the approach to support, and we psychologists might call it treatment planning for anxiety or depression. If we can do things to support the ADHD, if it's there, that's going to reduce anxiety already or the depression. So it's important to look for that, because treating both at the same time is going to lead to a better response and experience for your child. So then if the girl in your life does have ADHD, the other differences might be in terms of social interplay or academic struggles as well. So ADHD can affect learning in both boys and girls, but girls might employ or use different coping strategies. So that's in line with what I mentioned before, whereas boys might act out and disrupt the class. And that's not because it's their fault. It's because they have more of that impulsivity and hyperactivity. So in response to a task that's really difficult, if they've got, they're struggling to learn, then they might, that hyperactivity or impulsivity may show up. Whereas girls might internalize the struggles. So it might be in terms of thinking, like the boys are just thinking they're bored, they don't like this. Whereas girls might be thinking things like, I'm dumb, I can't do this. And so they kind of shut down. And that's why those difficulties aren't noticed as much in terms of ADHD. It also means then that their learning challenges can go under the radar as well. And from that point of view, that's, similar to anxiety, when we've got like ADHD and then anxiety on top, you might then come into a place where your girl might have ADHD and then learning challenges on top, or that negative self-talk on top. It can then kind of lead into depression as well. But if they've got beliefs that they can't do it, or that they're not good at things, they don't get it, then that impacts academics and learning. But potentially the biggest area of difference could be social interactions as well. So some of these things come down to the difference in development between boys and girls. And we know that girls tend to develop socially faster than boys do. And that means that girls with ADHD might develop some pretty sophisticated social coping mechanisms to mask how difficult things are. They can be more likely to imitate their peers, which might, you know, mask or camouflage some of their difficulties. And their ability to use their social skills to compensate can also lead to them being less likely to be identified as having ADHD. And so I'll talk about that in a bit more detail. I think girls with ADHD can become really, or they might be really good at observing and imitating others around them. And so sometimes that means, for example, they've missed an instruction, and so they will look around, notice what everybody else is doing, and then follow that. So it lets them blend in and it masks their struggles. And it's not really apparent that they're experiencing challenges to attention. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. It's just, I think I got a bit distracted myself then, but I think general comparison, probably girls are just a bit better at doing that, looking around, picking up the social cues and rules. And so they can use it as a way to cope with their difficulties, and, you know, maybe not even realizing that they're having difficulty and then using a strategy to cope. It's just what they do. The other thing too is that girls might work really hard to conform to these social expectations as well. So they might look around and, you know, those impulsive behaviors and that kind of thing, or hyperactivity, they might see other people aren't doing it. So they work out a way to suppress that because they're more aware than more aware than boys are that some of those things are socially unacceptable. And when I say that, you know, they're not socially unacceptable, but in terms of following the social group, if they will see what most people are doing as acceptable, and so learn that if what they're doing is different, they'll suppress that to try to fit in. And so it means when, you know, that's what peer pressure is really, as you know, in teen years, you'll see that they're all trying to do the same thing because to them it's socially unacceptable to not. So they all wear the same clothes, they all talk the same way. And for girls, they are just more adept at picking up those things than boys. And so they're suppressing those types of behaviors. So it can lead to later identification of the ADHD. Sometimes, though, despite their efforts, because of those subtle differences, girls can experience more social rejection or isolation from their peers. And that, I guess, is the flip side of that that ability girls have to pick up what's different and what's not. And so that means that the peer group is more likely to be picking up that, you know, the girl with ADHD does things a bit differently, is impulsive or hyperactive, and so notices that difference. And that can be something that's used as exclusion or just a way to justify that, you know, that girl not fitting in. Unfortunately or not, I don't know. I guess girls, women are social creatures more so than men. And so some studies show that exclusion of a girl in order to fit in with others can start to develop right from kindergarten. So it is something that girls do quite young. I think too then some of the struggles that girls have, like maybe inattention or difficulty, which might mean then difficulty having conversation, can further isolate girls from their peer group as well. Some of, you know, the differences between boys and girls too are that boys tend to play together. Girls from a much younger age tend start to have conversations as a way of connecting socially in the playground. So even by, say, grade 3 or 4, you might, you know, find that the boys are following the ball still, but girls are sitting and having conversations. And so inattention and difficulty, like either with being distracted or difficulty keeping attention, can mean that girls have more difficulty with those social behaviours, which means that they're more likely to become isolated or rejected. So I think the summary of the episode is if we're thinking about how girls present differently in terms of whether they are late to be diagnosed or have been misdiagnosed, we've talked about how maybe anxiety could be one thing to look for, or depression, could be learning challenges as well. The other thing could be friendship difficulties, and so feelings of social isolation or not fitting in. And of course, that can happen for a range of reasons. But I think always, as a psychologist, I'm trying to dig underneath to think what is underlying that behavior. So if your girl's having some social difficulties, they feel like they don't fit in or their peers excluding them, asking lots of questions about why and observing them with their friends and peers can be really useful to work out whether there's something underlying that difficulty that explains what's happening. And maybe it's ADHD. So what else is there? Oh, yeah. So then from there too, I guess with all of the effort of that stuff of trying to fit in can lead to that social anxiety as well. And so social anxiety often is, you know, sometimes it's anxiety of itself. Sometimes it's related to ADHD. Sometimes it's related to autism. And so a psychologist or pediatrician working with you on social anxiety, even OT, you know, anybody, I'm saying that because that's, you know, I'm a psychologist, my husband's a pediatrician, so that's what I'm thinking. But anybody helping you with those things, you know, should be helping you looking at what's underlying the difficulties, so that you fully understand your child, their patterns of strengths and challenges. And so then you can support the challenges, work with the strengths, and then also deal with those, you know, more serious difficulties like anxiety or social anxiety or depression, as well, in order to get the best outcome for your child. So I hope that explains a little bit about the differences in ADHD. I guess it's very, you know, it's a very broad brush stroke approach today in terms of the differences in that first point of diagnosis or identification. And there is a lot more nuance in that, which I will go into in another episode, because I've just started reading a book. It's behind me here, I think. Yeah, so it's Understanding ADHD in Girls and Women. Really interesting book, and there's lots of different perspectives, and so I'm going to be sharing some of those practical skills and strategies in upcoming episodes, so watch out for that. But for now, I hope this has been enough. Please let me know if you have any questions. It's hello@leannetran.com.au, or there is a contact form on my website, leannetran.com.au. And I am really genuinely interested to hear what you think about the episodes, but also if you have any questions that I can help answer, I'd love to do so. So please get in touch. Thanks so much for listening in and enjoy the term. I know I am quietly happy that the kids are back to school today.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Parent Like a Psychologist. If you found it helpful, please share on Instagram so other parents can benefit too, and tag me at Leanne Tran Psychology so that I can say a big thank you. Head over to leannetran.com.au to join the village for bite-sized psychology tips straight to your inbox. I really hope this podcast has brought a new perspective and you a step closer towards a calm parent and a thriving child. Have a delightful day.